Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Minister Joel Lewis, and you're listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you could be. I would like to thank you once again for logging on to this program. If you know someone that would be interested in this type of ministry, in this type of format, please feel free to share this information that we're going to share with you today. This morning, I'd like to just give a acknowledgement to Beverly Beasley, Granny Place Ministry, that sponsored this show each and every week. We want to thank Beverly Beasley and her staff for what they're doing over at GrannysPlaceMinistry.org. For more information regarding Granny Place Ministry and what you could do to be a part of this ministry, please log on to that website, GrannysPlaceMinistry.org. Without any further delay, I'd like to bring to you this morning our guest that's in our virtual studio this morning here. I'm excited about having this young lady. I'm excited about the ministry that she's doing, Evangelist Sanders. She will be talking to us about her ministry, Hope Plus Desire Equals Change, and her upcoming project, the Hope Box. At this time, we have Evangelist Sanders on the line. Good morning, Evangelist.
Good morning, Minister Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome to our program. Welcome. Sit back, relax, and then just share with us what God is doing at this time in your ministry, and encourage us to be about our Father's business.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, first of all, for having me a part of the show today. It is definitely an honor that I never take lightly, nor do I take for granted to express or be a part of such a ministry that would allow me to express in any form the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thank you again. Hope, desire, and change. The formula that the Lord gave me was a math formula. He gave me hope plus desire equals change. And the slogan that he gave me was, we help you do the math. And so I read the definitions of hope and read the definitions of desire because I thought they were one and the same. But when I looked up the word hope, it meant that there was a strong desire for something to happen. And when I looked up the word desire, the definition was along the same lines, but then there's a part of the definition that said express that they want something to happen or to express a strong desire. So I said, well, Lord, if we take those that have hope and show them how, you know, to express it, and, you know, we add those two together, there's bound to be a change. You know, the Bible says that we can make our requests known. And so as HDC, we want it to be a part of the change that happens because of their hope and because of their desire. And so that's what the Lord gave me. Hope plus desire equals change. It's one thing to want something, but it's a whole other different thing to step out on faith and ask for that that you hope for. And we just believe that when you add those two together, you know, when we do the math, there's bound to be a change happening in your life. So, excuse me. HDC was created to assist families improve their quality of life, both socially and economically, through educational training and mentorship programs and different things. What we are working on now is our Hope Box. We're looking to give away 100 Hope Boxes in March 25th. And the Hope Box will basically, our target audience, basically is our people that are less fortunate than we are, those that are in the family shelters, those that are homeless, And the whole box will entail daily needs, things like deodorant and, you know, socks and rags and water. We want to kind of make it really, really nice for them. So that's one of our acts of kindness. I am reminded of Matthew 26 and 40, and I won't read all of it, but verse 40 says, the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And I tell you, Minister Jovi, my initial desire to help people, the Lord really impressed upon me back in the early 2000. I just didn't know how far or how deep to get into it. I just knew the desire to help people in this form was growing strong. And so I had to figure out what the Lord wanted me to do about that. And that is basically where HDC has come from. And so we're put together to just do whatever we can to help those that are less fortunate than we are. And I know to some it may not mean much, but to the least of these, it's going to mean the world to them that somebody even thought enough to help them in that form. And so our goal, again, is to give away 100 Hope Boxes. And actually, the Hope Boxes, what we're using is the shoe box, the clear plastic shoe box that Walmart sells. And if you can visualize the size of the shoe box, it allows us a lot of room to put a lot of necessities that people need in there. And so we'll have a gift wrap. Of course, we'll also have, you know, Bible literature included, because this is a great avenue to spread the word of God, spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is our great commission. And we want to be able to do that as well. I believe it goes hand in hand. So that's what we're looking to do. And I believe that the Lord has already blessed this endeavor, because this is in line with what his word says, what his word tells us to do. And so I just want to be guilty of doing what God has instructed and what he has commissioned me to do.
Oh, God bless you. God bless you. And, you know, as you were sharing about the Hope, the boxes of hope that's coming up here, the Hope Box, I was just thinking about there's a great need for it. If our brothers and sisters seem to be in a temporary state, I said temporary because we know that it makes it will change. I like that you've had that change part of what you're doing, because that's part of the logo of our ministry, Free on the Inside. We said help change a life. You know, we know that what we're doing for Christ, Jesus, will make an effective change in men and women's lives. I do jail
Absolutely.
Ministry, and I have men and women that we minister to in jail, and now they're part of that ministry. So my hat goes off to you
Awesome.
And your ministry team, because we know that God is going to add to you the way he sees fit. But as you develop in this ministry, and you know that there's a challenge, if anyone would like to help you or be a part of what you're doing, do you have a contact number, a site they could go to?
I do. We right now we are on Facebook. If you want to go to HDC Inc., so it's www.facebook.com/HDCInc.com. You can go there and like the page, and you'll be able to see some of the events that we've put on in the past. And also, if you have any questions, you can email us at hopedesirechange, all one word, lowercase, hopedesirechange@gmail.com, and our staff will get back with you ASAP. If you are interested in donating any boxes or any hygiene products for our upcoming Hope Box giveaway, there's a Givelify app, a free Givelify app that a lot of churches use it. Our church uses it as well. Well, if you're not able to make service, not able to, or if you're out of town, you download that free Givelify app to your phone and look up HDC. There's a section there for nonprofits. It will find it for you. We are already set to go. You'll see our HDC logo, and everything else is self-explanatory. You can place your donation there, and we'll receive that and be able to utilize that for our upcoming event.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you. We're going to make sure that we keep that on the web, on our posting also, so want the people that's interested, that they have an opportunity. Now, Evangelist Sanders, we know that there's a lot going on in our own personal life and in the life of the ministry. How do you manage to keep going here? Because, you know, the work seems to be great, and we seem like that we don't just can't never meet all the challenges. How do you manage to balance things? Because I know people say that I just can't do it alone. Are you really doing this by yourself?
Sometimes it seems that way, but I have a great support group in our church that comes along. And when I say sometimes it seems, I'm talking in reference to the burden and the passion that is deep down on the inside of me. And I realize that it's that way because God has given that to me to spearhead. And so as I spearhead it, the others that come along with me, they understand where I am. They understand what God has commissioned us all to do. They understand that it's a part of the Bible that we do this these types of things. And so they're in it to help me. You know, balance is something, I will be honest with you, Minister Joe, that I am still working on. I am a mother. I'm a wife. I'm a pastor's wife. I am also employed. And so, you know, my children are heavily into sports, and there are different other things that I am into as well. But my purpose and in what God has called me to do is all of those things. And so I understand it from that perspective and my passion to do what He has called me to do. Those two is what keep me moving along, and I may not be able to reach all and help restore all, but I know that God has commissioned me to be one of the ones or one of the resources that I'll be able to reach somebody. But as long as my desire is to reach as many as I can, that's really what helps me keep going, because it's not about me. I'm a servant at heart. And wherever I can be found serving in whatever area, that is what I do, serving as a mother, serving as a first lady, serving as the founder of HGC. I'm just a server. And so I believe the balance comes along after, once I've established priority, you know, because as a wife, you know, my first ministry is to my husband, and that is what I preach, and that is what I teach. And my husband is a very strong supporter of the things that I do. I support him, and he supports me. And so it just kind of works hand in hand. And so where there's a need, you know, I have people to come and help me reach the goals that God has commissioned me to do with HDC, and vice versa. We're just servers. So it kind of, you know, works itself out that way for us.
Hey, man, I'm glad to hear you say that, because sometimes people feel like they got to do it all themselves. And I'm glad to see that you have a network of supporters, and we realize that the task has been given to us as leaders, but we're not ashamed to share that load. It's kind of like what Moses did.
Absolutely.
His work was so great. And I'm glad to hear that, because I encounter people that wants to do ministry, but they feel like they got to do it themselves. I'm going to tell you something that I found out in ministry. What we're doing, we're not alone. There's many people that are doing this, whether we see it or not. I think that you're not the only one that's doing these things. So don't, you know, so let's get, you know, let's get rooted and grounded, knowing that God have a ministry and people set in place are doing the same thing. I remember some time ago I interviewed a ministry that was putting together some lunch bags, and they was giving them out to the homeless. And then I was watching TV, a sport event, and these people was going to the store. They were buying a lot of stuff, like they finna have a spread for the game, and they were putting together bags, and they was taking them out to the homeless. I said, wow, these people here are doing the same thing in Dallas that they doing in California and New York. It let me know that
absolutely,
I'm not alone, even though I don't see these things. You know what? That gives me strength to keep going. You know, and I was asking you, how could someone be a part of what you're doing? Because I hear many people, and you have too, that said that I would like to know what God is wanting me to do. God, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. And I like to just back
absolutely
up on that and say, wait a minute, God is doing something, you know. It just appears, though, we're trying to pick and choose the things that He wants us to do. Be about His business, and then He'll open up the doors and give you an inroad to some things that He put on your mind, you know, and your heart.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. I think the key thing is just to always have an open mind and an open heart to serve. Because sometimes God doesn't put us in areas that are favorable, you know, in our sight, or in an area that we are totally comfortable in. But if it's something that He is commissioning you to do, we have to trust and believe that, you know, even with the apostles, they had an assignment, but they also had the Holy Spirit that empowered them and enabled them to do that. And that's where we would need to rely on, you know, rely on the Holy Spirit. If God, He would never tell you to do anything that He does not equip you to do. Even if it's in the place that we're not familiar with or we've never done it before, God has a way of connecting you with someone who does, along with empowering you and giving you the strength to complete the assignment at hand. And so you're never, ever, ever alone. And that's how we get to tap into our resources. That's how you're a connection for me. You know, you're helping me because I've stepped out on what God has commissioned me to do. He's empowered me to do it. But in that empowering, you know, that He's done for me, He's also given me connections and resources and people to say, you know, I've been here and I've done that. Let me help you along the way. And all the time, it's like the Lord is saying, I told you I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Everything I've asked you to do, everything I've commissioned you to do, all I need you to do is to be like Abraham and just go. And everything else is already set for you when you get there. You know,
hey,
and so that's basically what I did. I just, okay, Lord, I don't know all, but I do know that you told me to do this, so I'm just going to go and do my due diligence on my end and obey His instructions and follow His lead, and He sets up everything else from that point. We just got to be in tune to hear Him and know His voice and know where He's telling us to go.
Oh, amen, amen. Sound like you stepping out on faith.
I did, and God has been helping me.
You said some things that help my spirit leaping, you know, in the mornings. You know, a lot of times you say you have to just be in tune to His voice. A lot of times, God, matter of fact, all the time God is speaking, but do we have an ear to hear? I think so much of Isaiah 35 said that God would open up those blinded eyes and unstop those deaf ears. A lot of times there's ministry right in your midst, but you know, we don't see
absolutely.
It. We don't see it,
absolutely.
You know. I remember once we just talked about ministry. We want to encourage other men and women to be about their Father's business. And I was doing ministry, which I do ministry, and I seen people that didn't have any shoes. And I thought about it. I said, oh, Lord, I don't know what to do. God gave me this poem. I'm not a poet, but it resonated with me. And this was like 2-3 years ago. And it said that I looked around. They had no shoes. With these shoes, I have shoes that I don't use. With these shoes, I get to you to walk the path God chose for you. I said, wow. And we donated some shoes, and men and women said, I got a job now. I'm going to church now, and I'm doing some things that I felt uncomfortable because I didn't have the equipment or the resources to do it. And I said, wow, man, that makes a difference in people's life. Little things like shoes and even the hope box. It makes a difference when someone can clean themselves up, when someone can look presentable, when someone feel good about themselves. It makes a change.
Absolutely. 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 You know, you just never know where people are in their hearts and in their minds. And even those, and I agree with you when it comes to some of the less fortunate, you know, it's just a temporary stage. And sometimes just those small acts of kindness towards them serve as a reminder that where they are, if it's not what God says, and where they are is bound to change. It's got to change because God knows the end from the beginning. He has an expected end for all of His people. And so we're just a part of a reminder to them, a part of God, you know, using us to let them know that, again, where you are right now. And I said a lot at the church, and I try to encourage the people of the church, you know, where I share in ministry with my husband, Pastor Sanders. I tell him all the time, if what you see is not what God says, then what you see has got to change. Because God is not a man that He should lie, nor the son of man that He should repent. And so whatever He has said regarding your life, if it's not what you're seeing right now, now, then what you're in has got to change. It's just our job to keep trusting in him and relying on what he said, because our destiny is not tied into reality. Our destiny is not tied into what man says or his opinion. Our destiny is not even tied into our current situation, especially if it's not favorable in our eyes. Our destiny is tied into what God has said, and because he said it, it's got to happen.
Amen. That is so true, there, Evangelist. That is so true, because a lot of times we're challenging with our own self-worth. I do jail ministry back again, and I go down and I tell them, man, let go and let God. Let go of the self-doubt. Let go of the frustration. Let go of what you even think of yourself. And let God fill you. Let God use you. Let God honor your steps.
Absolutely.
You don't lose them more than just words. You know, we said things that we don't realize what you said. That's power. That's power in the
Absolutely.
Word of God. And I was thinking
Absolutely.
About your ministry and what you're doing, and that God never put no more on us than we can bear. We think that's about suffering. We think that's about a job. We think that's about finances. But that also could deal with ministry. God is not going to put a
Absolutely.
Ministry in your heart and in your hands that he's not going to give you the resources or the ability to accomplish that. So that goes
Absolutely.
That covers everything. It's not just, you
it
know, limited
does.
In a box. We got to take those things out of the box. And I'm glad that you're willing
Absolutely.
To share that this morning, because, you know, sometimes people say, well, it's too early. This is my quiet time. But you heard God's voice, and you answered the call.
Absolutely.
Imagine how much different it would be in all our life and the lives of the people we serve if they could hear God's voice and they could see his hand. Sometimes people only see, they only may see God only through you. That's because God
right.
is a spirit.
Absolutely.
You have to worship him in spirit and in truth. But if you're a Christian
Absolutely.
And you're hard in me, they're going to say, wait a minute, what kind of God you serving?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do agree, you know, and I think sometimes those of us that are that receive these assignments, sometimes we look at what all needs to what needs to be done in order to accomplish that, and I'll be honest, sometimes even in my developing my organization, it sometimes can be a little overwhelming, because I'm looking at what I've been commissioned to do, and I'm going, Lord, I don't know about this. And it's not that I never that I don't want to serve, but I remember when I was just being transparent at the very beginning of the stage, when I was a little procrastinating about doing it, and it was only because I was looking at all of the work that I wasn't familiar with, and I remember the Lord coming to me, and he said, now, you really don't want to serve, because if you really wanted to serve my people, then you'd get past this. You'd do what you have to do what I told you to do. And I said, oh, wow, okay, so let me get back on my job and do what I need to do on my end so that he can do what he's already started to do. He can complete the good work that he has started in me, as the Bible says. And so I said, Lord, you know, I appreciate you for even just that reminder, because this is not something that I just up and said, hey, let's do this. I'm a nice person. You know, I think I'm a nice person, and I've never had I've never been one of those kind of people that, you know, you call my name and Mary's not going to help you. I've always been one of the ones that wanted to help, but when it came to me putting the organization together, I was a little hesitant because of the new information that I needed to learn and different things, just so I can do everything decent and in order and be really effective and impactful in the community. But he reminded me, he said, now, this is not an option. This is an assignment. This is something that I've commissioned you to do. And so you really want to serve my people, we're going to go outside of the four walls of the sanctuary, and that's where we're going to do our work. And so I was very appreciative to the Lord for reminding me of that. It was just a gentle reminder. And so we're moving forward to do what he wants us to do.
Amen. God bless you. And, you know, we're getting ready to wind down this portion of our show. We have another great guest coming up. We're having a missionary that's going to come on and talk about sexual trafficking. She's a missionary from the Philippines. And so our mission is
okay,
to reach out
awesome.
To those men and women that seem to be outside the mainstream and draw them back in and get them back established with society. But before we go, again, give us the date to your upcoming Hope Box ministry that's coming up here, and give us, and also the contact number once again, and as briefly as possible, tell us why you do what you do. You know, because someone needs to know that, hey, I can do this in spite of what's going on. I'm unemployed, but I can tell somebody about who's got me covered. You know, and so
absolutely.
Give us some information before we get out here, because we want everyone to have access and ability to go about and do our Father's will. You know, this may not be the ministry for everybody, but it's a starting point. You got to start.
Absolutely. 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 And again, our contact information, if you have any questions or desire to participate, you can always send us an email at hopedesirechange@gmail.com, and we will get back with you as ASAP and just put in the subject field Hope Box. And that event will take place March 25th. Between 11 and 2 o'clock p.m. That's March 25th, between 11 and 2 o'clock p.m. And, again, the reason that I do what I do, I'll have to reference back to the Bible in Matthew chapter 26, verses 40. If you read the entire chapter, it'll really enlighten you. But this is a part of God's word. Verse 40 says, the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you do for one of these, one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And my desire is to please God and to serve and make myself available to serve and uplift and encourage his people. It's a part of my commission. So that is why I do what I do.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. We pray that God continue to show his favor on you and the ministry. I'm looking forward to hearing and seeing great things from you because they definitely need. I'm going to tell you a little side note. I was a product of ministries like yours. Someone shared with me when I couldn't do for myself and when I wouldn't do for myself because of my mind. But yet they shared with me the gospel. I didn't know what it was, but it was part of the gospel that said that, hey, when you are restored, you're the strength of your brother. Wait a minute. Do you know where I'm at?
Yes.
Do you know what I've done?
Yes.
You tell me, not if you get out, I said, when you are restored. And that goes for all of us. We all have
absolutely.
Had a life that wasn't pleasing to God. I think so much of Enoch.
Absolutely.
Enoch had a life before God, but he had a greater life after God. My sister, God bless you and your pastor and the church for doing what you're doing because it's definitely changing lives. I know it.
Absolutely.
I hear it. I have experienced it. So God bless
absolutely.
You. The phone lines are lit up here. And so thank you very much. As someone is going to be encouraged. Someone wants to be a part of a ministry. It's ministries
absolutely.
Are being birthed right here.
You in the
birthing room right now.
Absolutely.
You know,
amen.
Because that's ministries that are being birthed in you as you speak, and as all those that listen to it. I'm saying that in a spiritual sense because people never know. So, I could do this. I could do that.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
So thank you. Before I let you go, I got one.
So
I have a co-host on the line right quick here. He wants to say hello to you. And so we're going to bring him in, and then we'll release you from this here setting and bring in our next guest.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You will listen to Evangelist Sanders from HDC. She's talking about her upcoming project that's coming up with the Hope Box. Good morning, Brother Daniel. You're on the net.
Good morning, Rev. Lewis. How you doing? It's blessed. It's a wonderful day.
I'm doing great. We got our guest on the line, so we're getting ready to end this interview. Would you like to say hello to her? You got Evangelist Sanders.
Yeah, I like to talk to her.
She's on the line right now, sir.
Good morning. How you doing, ma'am?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Yeah. Then I think I was listening to what you were saying, and you told me your spouse's wife. You still had a job, and you had a whole lot of more duties and with the project you're already doing. So I think I heard you say something about your kids are in the sports area. What kind of sports do they do?
Well, I have a son that is in football, and I have a daughter who is finishing up basketball season. She's going into track.
Yeah. Are they real good at it?
Yes, sir. Well, my son here in the school he's with, he's actually been in since FLAG. This year he made the top 12. I'm sorry. He was number 12 in the top 50 in the state of Texas for his class. He's a sophomore right now. He also made best defensive newcomer of the year. They went to the playoffs, went three rounds in the playoffs this year as well. He's been in football, like I said, since FLAG, and it's just a part of what he does. And he's had a couple of talks with some, you know, potential college coaches as well. So his future looks very, very bright. My daughter, she tried basketball for a fresh year this year, but she's always been in track, and so track is one of her main sports, and she does extremely well in track as well. She's come out with several medals every year that she's ran, and she's in the 11th grade.
Hey, man, God bless you. Brother Daniel, we're going to have to cut this interview short right here because we got a next guest on the line. Evangelist, thank you very much. Thank you. And Brother Daniel was just trying to get the human side of it. And that's great because we know that we're busy, but we're busy for the Lord. Thank you for showing us how to be balanced in everything we do. Brother Daniel, you just hold on here. We got our next guest that's coming up here shortly. And Evangelist Sanders, God bless you. We pray that everything's continually to work in your favor. And that you,
continue
to go about Father's business because there's souls that need to be saved. There's life that's going to be changed. Thank you for help changing lives in Jesus' name.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless you. All right, there, Brother Daniel. We got our next guest that's coming up here on the line here in a few minutes. Now, before we bring them on, Brother Daniel, would you like to give us some comments regarding what you got up. Now, you got a program coming up here next Tuesday, I believe.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My wife is, she has a project on Valentine's Day, which is February 14th. It's a breakfast, a prayer breakfast, so she's a sponsor. And we'd like to invite everybody over that wants to come over to eat breakfast and just pray and give thanks and pray for our country and pray for the country and just pray for God to bless your family, you know. And if you look at it, I looked at it too the other day. I saw President Trump, he's trying to get everybody to realize that you can pray about your situation. You know, you can pray about your situation instead of trying to go out and lashing out and fighting and breaking buildings and cussing and hollering. You know, I mean, you know, I'm just like that, Pastor Lewis. You know, I believe that also some things are done with faith and waiting, but start working on violence because basically that was, you know, we got a leader. We got a drum master, his name was Martin Luther King, and basically I never saw Martin Luther King go out and break a window. You know what I'm saying? He didn't go out and you know, something
now,
like
tell
that.
Us about your program, Brother Daniel. Now your program is coming up next week. Where's the location and the time, sir?
Well, it's not officially a time, so I'll get back with you next week, Reverend Lewis, when we want to talk about this time thing. You know, we got another Saturday to go talk about. It's on February the 14th, which is a Tuesday. And it's a Tuesday morning. And I know that's a real tedious thing for some people because they basically they have to go to work. But I put it like this. When God calls you for something, it matters what the time. And no matter what the date, you know, some people will go to the football game when they know they got to go to work. Some people will go somewhere on a vacation, going to Las Vegas or something. They know they got to go to work, you know, but they take off of work, right?
Oh, yes, in some cases, when they can afford to.
Yeah, but this is God's, event. And, you know, and whenever you go something like this, you know, you put your mind into what you're doing, which is for the glorification of Jesus. And so, you know, there should be no kind of sudden thought about when you want to come to somewhere. You know, we're not charged no admission, or we're not charging a fee. And in fact, we even feed you, you know. So you can put it like that. We're feeding you breakfast and entertain you at the same time. We're supposed to have a dance routine with some of my my granddaughters and stuff supposed to be doing. So you're going to get blessed in both ways, you know.
Oh, well, God bless you there, my brother. God bless you. Amen. Hey, Brother Daniel, we got our next guest on the line right now, so we're going to bring them in just one moment there, sir.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on the net. Good morning, Miss Sunshine Evangelist. How you doing?
Good morning.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You know, we had a great show this morning, but thank you for being a part of what we're doing. Please introduce yourself and tell us about what God has helped you to do at this time.
Hi, this is Sunshine Stanford of Dallas, Texas, and I am going to talk about our passion in our heart about helping people and preventing this occurrence of modern slavery, the human sex trafficking.
All right. And, you know, there's a great need to be able to discuss that. I think last month was Sex Trafficking Month, and we know that your mission calls you to go to the hedges and highways and compel men and women, boys and girls, to be about our business and to break that cycle. Tell us more.
Yes, this is very interesting fact that about 45.8 million people are affected with this worldwide, and 8.3, one of three people are exposed to human sex trafficking, and it is happening in our country, United States of America, and all over the world. And people who are seeking some relief in their daily struggles or looking for a job, most of the time, sometimes there are lure for them to work as a human sex trafficking. In other instances also, some people are exposed to it because of need and poverty. One example of that is in the Philippines, which is dear to my heart because that's where I came from. And I was just appalled when I went there for a mission work. And one area that we went there was the cemetery. The cemetery, we found that there are more than 1,000 children living there. So some people, when I tell them, their eyes become big and they cannot believe that there are people living in the cemetery. And they put a plywood on top of the tomb, and that is their bed. Because the people there, mostly children, don't have enough food. And sometimes there are parents there that live too. Why they live there? Because they have nothing to put a roof on themselves. And then they have children. The saddest part of it, sometimes the parents are involved in this human sex trafficking. Sometimes they take their kids to the hotel where especially foreigners have monies, you know, and lure them to give them small amount of dollars so that the children will be a victim of human sex trafficking. Sometimes it boils down that it only costs the other person, the man, to pay 50 cents a dollar to have sex with these children. So in association with this, this is truly a blatant violation of God's power and liberty that has been given to us so that everyone, every individual have that liberty. So in modern slavery, we thought that this modern slavery are out already, it's gone, but it is very much active in our country, in all over the world. So I would like today to increase awareness of all people in the community, of all people who are children of God. Always be in the lookout wherever you go, that sometimes there are, even in the highways up here in Texas, in America, you know, those parking lots with trucking. I'm not saying that all of them, no, some of them. There are a lot of activities going on with human sex trafficking. And sometimes these young girls, as young as 12 here in America, they don't have a control of their body. They don't have a control of their individuality. Why? Because there is somebody pimping them to do these acts and following them so that they can report to them the money that they earned. So they are also afraid. These victims are afraid of their lives because they are being threatened, not only their lives, but their families' lives, if they will report to the authority. So in the same token that these are dear to each and every one of us. Why I say that? Because it might be your daughter, it might be your niece or nephew for some reason. Men are also involved, boys are also involved with this. And your neighbor, your friend, your friend's daughter, your friend's friend. And usually it arises that there is a need of that person, mostly economically. They want some money, or there's something wrong for them not working, or there are people that don't want to work but do this kind of prostitution. But most of the victims are human sex trafficking, and they are doing it that they don't like to do it. And some of them are forced to do it. And their normal is to be involved with this human sex trafficking. I would like to focus more overseas in my country, especially. I know have the rule. Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay, when you have the roof, you know, to on you every night, safety. You have a house to live on. You don't even realize how blessed you are, exposed and compared to people that doesn't have a home. It is rightfully when the kids are supposed to be warm, supposed to be nurtured, supposed to be modeled by parents or families for their safety, number one, and number two, for them to think about their future, that when they grow up, they have a very good future. But these kids don't have the opportunity to think about even that, because most of these kids, they are the one working for their own subsistence, and sometimes they are the one supporting the family for food, you know, so that they're going to be engaged in such activities of human sex trafficking. So, my dear listeners, I wanted you to know that out of these places there in the Philippines, there is a cemetery where kids live day in and day out. And the predators, people who are sick, getting these kids because they have needs for them to eat. They have needs for them to clothe. They invite them. They victimize them. They offer the lure of help. And most of the time, right now, what they also do, they even talk to the parents. They become a guardian of these children.
Oh, my
and
God.
When they become guardian of these children, then they have the capacity to make decisions for their children. So promise these children will take you to America for a better life. But meanwhile, they have the organized conspiracy of other men, because this is a business for them, that they have these kids to satisfy pleasures of those sick people, you know. And then when they can take them out of the country also, like Thailand, like Japan, apparently they are all over the world and ask these young girls to perform sex with these people and on. And sometimes it's not only 10 times a day. Can you imagine a girl?
You know, a missionary, you were sharing some things that we're not familiar with, because we need to know, because a lot of times we see things that and like you said, you know, you need to bring to our attention even the local truck stops or just things that just look normal, but sometimes it's an underlying problem. Now, as you go to the Philippines and as you encounter the men and women that's living in the cemetery, the young ten, what are you doing to get them out or get them established?
Well, we have an association, and I am inviting a lot of people in this awareness. I know whenever I hear everywhere in the bank, in the store, or even in the radio, you know, or even a news report that people are helping out, we are the forefront of these people. In fact,
yes.
Next week I will be going there, but my work will start at the end of February over there and be
okay
in the lookout also, because we are working together with people who are involved in there. One of them is the health department. These doctors, you know, they are the one who it's a public one, and they go there when they're sick, when they have infection, you know, when they need medical health attention, they go there. So that is the best way for us to work together and be even accompanied to go there, you know, for safety reason. At
yes,
the same time, we are doing a drive where we can, at first, like we can even bring enough food for them when we go there, and at the same time work with others that are not even in the Philippines. There are people who doesn't know this operation unless you see
yes.
it with your eyes, that you have an impact in your heart and to your person, that you need to reach out to this kind. My dream for this is really lofty and high, but you know, God will always make it possible. Can you imagine, Pastor, just imagine this, that one day we have big buses to take these children to a home.
Yes.
Where there are adults who are going to take care of them, where there is a school inside the compound where they can learn that is not a normal life, that there is a better way, to realize that they are the children of God, created in the image of Him, that they have potential, they have possibilities, and to know that their needs are supplied while they are in the nurturing, and then at the same time they become an adults and become a valuable member of society, not only in the society, but also doing the service of God, because they themselves have been helped.
You know,
so
as you were sharing that, I was thinking about how Jesus encountered a man that lived in in the tomb amongst dead things, and how he went out and he shared, you know, and he spoke to that man's condition, and that man was released. I thank you for what you're doing. You're going out and letting these young men and these women and all those that live in that condition, hey, you can get out of this. So there's help available. God have no respect of person. He don't want you to live like this, and they need to take advantage of these of the opportunity. So my hat goes off to you and your ministry team, because that's something I never thought of. I never thought about people that are living in a condition that I can not even imagine. You living amongst dead things, and you feel like that your life is dead. You look around and there's, you know, there's death and destruction and chaos all around you, and you're just a child, so you start thinking that's the way the world is. And so I thank you for you sharing that with her, that you say, hey, let these young people know that they can go to school, that they can grow up to be an adult, that could be successful and be prosperous, and that they can have a family, they can have a normal life. Because we can't imagine that a child age of 6 years old is living amongst things like that. Till when he come 18 or 16, God allowed him to live that long, he started thinking that the world is such a cruel place. And there's no love available, you know. So thank you, thank you, thank you for continually to show the hand of God. Now, before I let you go, if people want to find out more information about this type of ministry or website or contact number, they say, hey, I want to follow this. I want to be a part of what's going on. Do you have some information that you could share with us?
Yes, yes. First of all, there is a phone number that they can call me directly at 469-396-6806. Right now, we would like to be one-on-one or small group or big group to talk.
Yes.
So that everybody can. It is. There's nothing better that you see eyeball to eyeball, and we have an appointed times that we can talk to them, and at the same time, if they want to be involved, call us directly right now at that number.
Now, as you go over there, you put together care packages. What are some of the things, some of the items that you put together for to be able to distribute to the young men and women?
Oh, you know, for health needs, you know, soap. Soap is very good. Lotion is very good to give them. You know, toothbrushes, you know, and then some give some shoes, some give some clothes, you know, and at the same time, the thing that is, what is this, easy for us to carry are those for, what is this, personal care.
Okay. You know, Rita, I asked you that because the needs over in the Philippines are no different than the needs here in America. So if we call them hygiene kits, you're doing the same thing in the islands there. So people say, wow, I don't know what to do. Thank you for making that clear. The same thing that you need here, you need over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yes.
Sometimes people say, I don't know what to do. Yeah, now you know what to do. If you need it, someone else needs it also.
Yeah.
Now, we know the Philippines is an island, and we know that the weather condition doesn't get as bad as it does here with the wintertime, but they still need adequate clothing for the various times of the season, right?
Yes. There are only two seasons there. It's rainy and sunny. So when it rains also, it's mostly some storms, you know, and they are not, it's not like a house that they are housed, you know, so when it rains, you know, they need coverings for the rains at the same time.
Okay. Stuff like ponchos and stuff like that. Okay, great. That way, when people are tired of what they could do to support these type of ministry. Now, do you have a website or something they can go to and just see what's going on? Or do you have a national link to these type of program that's going on that someone may log onto the internet and see? Do you have a website?
Yeah, our website right now is under upgrading, so
yes.
it should be ready soon, and I can let you know when it is ready. But we have some reports that we can give to people.
Okay, that sounds great then. And now we want to thank you for being a part of this program here. You know, you was on a couple of years ago, and we talked about this. And I'm so glad that you're still able to go out and do these things, that there's a great need for it. That's some things that I would never experience. But I don't have to be overly concerned because God got people there in place. And I'm glad to see that you're not overwhelmed by this, because you could only do what you could do with God. He give you the provisions, he give you the comfort and the assurance that you're doing right. And then he let you know that you're not alone. You know, the scripture said, I go go ye therefore, and I'll be with you always. But also he'll send people along with you. He'll send people to meet you. And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it.
Absolutely. All we have to do is to become obedient. Obedient signifies a love relationship with your Father.
Yes.
And because you don't even question how difficult it is, then obedient, there is love always that is reflected from our Father through Jesus Christ.
Now, I'll ask this to everybody. I always like the human side of ministry, because we know that God calls us to do these things, but what allows you to keep going time after time? Because you could be doing other things, but yet you always make yourself available. What allows you to keep doing this here? Because let's face it, each time you go, there seems to be a little bit more added to your plate, but yet you keep on going. So encourage us so we can keep going for the Lord.
The Lord, when he commissioned you for a cause like this, you know, because your spirit just identify with him. And when you can touch a child, a young man and women, to touch them that Jesus loves them through you, you know, you can do the impossible things the way God does impossible things for us. So he strengthens us every day that, yes, this is a call from you. It's not, I'm not doing it from me to glorify me, but to glorify my Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for what you're doing. And I always thank you for help changing a life in Jesus' name, because we know that some young man, some young woman, life is going to be changed. One day when we're unable to do these things, I'm saying because of the nature of things, somebody's life that you've changed and touched along the way, they'll pick it up. They'll say, hey, evangelist, missionary, I go and do that. I go and talk. I go and make ways. And so, you know, you're planting seeds and you're changing life. So thank you. We pray that that you have a blessed missionary trip. We pray that what you do when you get over there, it makes a difference. They'd be eager to see you and the ministry team. And please let us know how it's going. You know, we like to stay in touch with you. We met some time ago, and our souls were knitted together. So thank you for being available to share your ministry with us.
Thank you, Minister Lewis, and it's always a pleasure to do good deeds for our Savior.
Well, God bless you, amen. And have a good trip, and we're looking forward to speaking with you later on to give us an update on what's going on.
Okay, thank you.
All right, God bless you. We just had an interview there with missionary Sunshine. She's a Philippine missionary and just a missionary throughout the world. And she's going out to the hedges and highways and compelling young men and girls to be about their Father's business. She was telling us some of the things that they need as they go out for the to minister to the people, to the men and women. They're the same thing we use here, hygiene kits. They need clothing. They need something for the weather. She said that ponchos and some kind of weatherized apparel is needed. So I ask you that if you get in touch with a ministry like that, support that type of ministry. Brother Daniel, we're getting ready to get out of here. Thank you for holding on.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Daniel. We got a few minutes to get before we wind down. Thank you, brother, for being a part of what we're doing. We have some great guests this morning. Looking forward to some more great guests coming on, and thank you for your support.
Yeah, I was listening to what she was saying, and I have a minister friend. His name is Dr. Terry. He was talking to me about over in the Philippines, they have missionaries everywhere, all around the world. One of the missionaries is a Christian minister, but also they also have Muslims over there in those countries, and most of what they're doing, they're beheading people over there. You know, And you never thought that was going on stuff was going on all around the world like that. You know, like the Philippines is kind of like it's in the colonies of the United States, and a lot of the legal stuff that's going on with these countries, there's no way to enforce it, you know, because it's caught between the battles of international codes. You know what I'm saying?
Brother Dan, we got to get on out of here, man, because of our time restriction. Hey, I'll tell you what, we're going to bring that up on our next show, brother. That's some good things to be aware of. But we know that this is God's business, brother. So we not be just don't be overly concerned about that. Because if God be for you, who could be against you, okay? And you know what? I'm looking forward to taking a missionary trip sometime. I don't know what God is going to send us. But, you know, we're looking forward to it because, you know, he said, go ye therefore and tell the whole world. And sometimes it allows you to be in uncomfortable places. Can you imagine going to the graveyard, man, and talking to people that are living among dead things? That's scary, brother. That's uncomfortable. That's intimidating. But yet God got men and women doing those things, man. Hey, Brother Daniel, we got to get out of here, brother. We're winding down. Thank you, man. And we're going to talk later. And looking forward to having you to be on here next week, okay?
Amen.
Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Dear Lord, we thank you for our guest this morning, Evangelist Sanders, dear Lord. We thank you for what she's doing in the ministry. We thank you for how you continually, dear Lord, to show favor in her life, continue to add to her ministry, dear Lord, as she do her boxes of hope, dear Lord. Let those young men know, dear Lord, that there's no failure in you. Let them know that you love them. Let them know that you have need of them as they receive that box. They open it up, dear Lord. We ask you to manifest your grace and your power in each one they like. Allow them to see your hand at work in everything they do. Dear Lord, we thank you for our missionary, dear Lord, how she's able to go out to those hedges and highways and compel young men to come forth that God have needed them, dear Lord, because we realize that one day we're not going to be able to do these things. We pray that we're laying the good seeds, dear Lord, that men can see your hand at work in our life and they can follow Christ Jesus. We follow him. Thank you for Brother Daniel. Thank you for our guests that's on the line this morning. We pray that men should have been birthed right here today. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, dear Lord. We thank you. Dear Lord, as we get ready to close out, we ask you to watch over us throughout the week. Let us be a blessing to someone in the name of Jesus. Amen. Brother Daniel, we're getting ready to get out of here. Be strong in the Lord, okay? You're listening to Free on the Inside, the internet program to inform you, to encourage you, to challenge you to be all you could be with Minister Lewis and Brother Daniel. Until we meet again, be strong in the Lord. In that program to inform you, encourage you, and challenge you. Looking forward to having you to be on here next week with another great episode. Thank you for supporting this show, and we'll talk with you next week. God bless you.